Okay, so welcome to our Experience Shabbat Shir. And this week we're going to be speaking about the Shabbos-Purim connection. Now, you'll say this is a little bit odd to be speaking about the week after Purim, so why is it relevant for right now? So I'll give a little bit more background of why I wanted to speak about this, and then I'll explain why it's still relevant to even talk about Purim after Purim when it's specifically related to Shabbos. To preface all of this, in general, there is a natural connection between most holidays and Shabbos, right? So when it comes to holidays like Sukkot and Pesach and Chanukah, they all merge into Shabbos at some point because of the length of the holidays. So there's always going to be some sort of connection. When it comes to a holiday like Purim, which usually does not really land on Shabbos, and it's usually during the week, then there's really virtually no connection. In fact, at least when it comes to places outside of Yerushalayim, when it's cities that all celebrate Purim on the 14th, if Purim does land on Shabbos itself, then we end up pushing off Purim to do it on Sunday instead of on Shabbos. So the truth is that there is very little connection between Purim and Shabbos at the face value. However, this year is a year where all this kind of changes on some level because of the fact that this year was what we call Purim Meshulash. Purim Meshulash basically, I'm just going to mute everyone just to eliminate some of the background noise. Purim Meshulash, what that basically means, if you're not familiar, is when Purim in America when the 14th of Adar falls on Friday, then that means the 15th of Adar falls on Shabbos. In cities like Yerushalayim, which are cities that were walled from the times of Yehoshua ben Nun, so they all celebrate Purim on the 15th, right, the day after the 14th of Adar. And so since you can't really have a full Purim on Shabbos, they do something called Purim Meshulash, which basically means that they have Purim for 3 days. So this year in Yerushalayim, they had Purim on Friday, on Shabbos, and on Sunday. What that practically means is that on Friday, they read the Megillah, and they did not say Ahal Nisim in their davening, and they also had the mitzvah of Matanos Levionim. On Shabbos, they said Al Anisim. They had some of the special Torah readings for Purim, and there was a special mitzvah to share like Divrei Torah on Purim. And then finally on Sunday, they had the mitzvah of the Purim Seuda and the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, and they did not say Al Anisim. So it's a very sort of a interspersed, diluted Purim for 3 days long. And that's what we call Purim Meshulash. And this is the only time when Purim can actually fall on Shabbos, when we have this Purim Meshulash situation where the 15th of Adar is on Shabbos, so you have Friday through Sunday, the entire weekend of Purim. So the truth is, again, that there is no real relevance and no need to necessarily talk about Purim after Purim. However, the reason why there is a strong Shabbos-Purim connection, even after we talk about the concept of Purim Meshulash, is because when it comes to Havdalah every single week, we say an entire paragraph, at least in the Ashkenaz liturgy, the text of Havdalah, we say an entire paragraph that begins, Hinei Kel Yeshua Si, Hefzach v'lo Avchad, right? That's the whole intro paragraph of Havdalah. And it concludes with a pasuk from the Megillah of Esther. It says, La'yehudim haisa ura v'simcha v'sasun v'yikar. In fact, it's such an important pasuk that usually, typically, what will happen is the person who's making Havdalah will pause before he gets to this line. Everyone will then jump in and say, La'yehudim haisa ura. And then it's repeated once again. It's the only line of Havdalah that's repeated. The person who leads the Havdalah repeats this line again. The line literally means that Le'ihudim, for the Jews, Haisa, there was Ura, there was light, there was Simcha, which is like joy, Sason, there was happiness, and Yikar, also some sort of an advanced perspective of being in delight. And so the question is, why is it that we say this Pasuk every single Motzei Shabbos without fail? Every single Saturday night in our Havdalah, we will always say Le'ihudim Haisa Ura V'Simcha V'Sason Yikar. Where does this come from? So the context of this pasuk in the Megillah, if you remember, is that it's said specifically right after we are victorious in the Purim story, right? Everyone is fighting so hard. Are we going to win? Are we going to be destroyed? Is Haman going to be able to kill us? And ultimately, of course, we do succeed and we do not end up all being killed. Haman loses, and as a result, La'yehudim ha'isa'ora, there was great joy in the streets. All the Jews started celebrating because we were not going to be killed. Fine. So why do we say this pasuk on Havdalah every single Motzei Shabbos? So the Ramah says and Simon Reish Tzadi Vav of Shulchan Aruch. He says, V'nagu lomar kodim havdala, sho'osim bebayis. When we make havdala in our homes, we say, Hinei kel Yeshua si. We say all these verses of Hinei kel Yeshua si, Kos Yeshua sesa, right? These are all verses that we should be somewhat familiar with. And then we also add the word La'ihudim ha'isa'ura, the pasuk from Megillas Esther. Why? L'siman tov. The Ramah gives no reason whatsoever. He says, because it's a good thing to do. It's like it's some sort of a nice sign that we should say such a verse, or that we should say all these verses. What is so special about these verses, and particularly the verse in Megillas Esther? Why is it so special? So there's a beautiful and relatively well-known Gemara that can be found in Megillah on the Daf Tet Zayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara darshens, it expounds what the pasuk is talking about. La'yehudim haisa ora simcha v'sasun v'yikar. There were all these different types of joy that the Jewish people experienced. What do these four words mean? Ora, Simcha, Sason, and Yikar, what do they stand for? So the Gemara in Megillah very famously says that Ora, Zo Torah, that when we say that the Jewish people experienced light, that means they experienced learning Torah once again. When it says Simcha, that they experienced happiness, that means Yom Tov, that they finally were able to experience a Yontif once again. Sason, Zo Mila, when they had a happiness, this was that they got to fulfill the mitzvah of Bris Mila once again, circumcision. And Yikar, Elu Tefillin, this is that they were able to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin once more. And if you take a look at this grouping of mitzvos, learning Torah, keeping yantif, circumcising, and wearing tefillin, what a random grouping of mitzvos. What do each of these mitzvos have to do with the other? So you say, fine, maybe like tefillin and mila, okay, like, well, men wear tefillin and men also have mila. What's the connection between all these four different things? So the Maharsha basically explains that the connection between these four things is the fact that each of them represents an os, or a sign, a testimony to the fact that we identify as Jews. Each of these things, when it comes to Torah, the notion of learning Torah and the concept of Torah itself is a testimony to the fact that God is our creator, God is the ruler of the world, and that we are his chosen people. When it comes to the mitzvah of, let's skip Yanta for a second, when it comes to the mitzvah of Mila, the notion that every male has a circumcision, that's a representation that we have a constant sign on our body that shows that we are servants of God. And when it comes to tefillin, we know that tefillin is also referred to as an oath. It's referred to as a sign in which we place upon our body, that men place upon their arm and on their head, to show that we are servants of God, that we are representatives of Hashem himself. And then finally, when it comes to yontif, so how does yontif represent a sign? The testimony that we serve Hashem. Well, simply the way the Maharsha explains it is that on Yontif we do shvisa, meaning we rest. The concept of Shabbos itself, of resting itself, is of course a very, very well known concept that represents the fact that we are testifying to God's to the reality of God and the fact that He created the world. Because Shabbos itself is an os between us and God. Shabbos, we know, is a sign between us and Hashem, so therefore you have it, Yontif also, which has aspects of Shabbos, of rest in it of itself, that also shows that that is a sign for God. So these four mitzvos are not random mitzvos, they are grouped together because these are the four mitzvos that represent the fact that that we are testifying to the reality of Hashem, that He is our creator, that He is our ruler, that He runs the world, and that we are His chosen people. And what the Maharsha basically explains is that Haman sought to destroy one thing in particular, and that is the Jewish identity itself. He wanted to eliminate the identity of all Jews in this world, wanted to make it as if the Jewish people didn't exist. So what did he start with? He made a decree to eliminate these four mitzvahs in particular, which show proudly that a Jew stands up and says, I am a Jew, and this is how you know I'm a Jew, because I have Bris Mila, because I have Tefillin, because I keep Shabbos, and because of the fact that I learn Torah. So these four things help us identify as Jews. So Haman said, I'm going to get rid of them. When we defeated Haman, that means these mitzvahs were able to be returned, and that's why there was such joy in the streets, because we got to have all of these mitzvahs come back. Okay, fine. So what does all this have to do with Havdalah? So perhaps one simple reason as to why we say Ayhudim Haisa Orav Simcha V'Sasu Nikar at Havdalah every single Motzei Shabbos is because of the fact that we're celebrating that we got to experience the mitzvah of Shabbos, right? We say this pasuk at the conclusion to almost symbolize the excitement over the fact that we have the honor of celebrating Shabbos and that we, God has given us the ability to differentiate between the holy and the profane, and this separation from Shabbos, as we know, can bring some sort of a sadness for us because the Neshama Yaseir is being taken away and we are now saddened because Shabbos is leaving. But maybe this pasuk is meant to cheer us up a little bit, saying, don't be sad, be filled with sason simcha and yikar because of the fact that you have mitzvahs like this. Not only do you have Shabbos that is representative of an os, of a sign between you and God, but you also have other mitzvahs and you should therefore be happy. So maybe this pasuk is meant to cheer us up a little bit because it reminds us of the zuchus, of the merit that we have to have Shabbos every single week, and then we have tefillin and milah and learning Torah as well. So the truth is, if we want to stop there, we can. That's enough of a connection. We see that Lehud HaMaisa'ora V'Simcha V'Sasun Nikar is representative of the fact that we try to conjure up the imagery of Purim a little bit every single week, because just like we were thrilled to have Shabbos come back after the end of the Megillah of Esther, so too we are so thrilled to have Shabbos every single week. But there are many more connections between Shabbos and Purim in and of themselves, and that is so a few different ideas in this vein. One of the opening psukim in the first chapter, pasuk 10 and 11, the psukim yud and yud aleph, there's a pasuk that says, "Bayom hashvi'i ketov li hamelech bayayin," and on the seventh day, when the king was like very happy with all the wine that he had, "Lumuman bizta charvona bigsa vavagsa zeser v'charkas shiva sasarisim." So then the pasuk begins to list that he decided to tell Achashverosh, right? That's the understanding when we see Melech over here, that the king Achashverosh told his Sarisim, right, his servants that he had, to go bring Vashti before the king. And the Gemara in Megillah asks or takes note of the fact that this took place on Yom HaShvi'i, the seventh day of what? The Gemara says this is the seventh day of the week, that this whole story of Vashti coming out, right, the story we learned in kindergarten, Vashti came out, and the king said you have to come out, she did not come out, the Achashverosh said you have to come out naked, Vashti, so everyone could see you, just wear a crown. And she said, no way, and she grew pimples and a tail, whatever. So why did this whole story happen? Turns out the Gemara Megillah explains, this all happened on Shabbos. Why did it happen on Shabbos? Because of the fact that the Gemara says that Vashti was a very wicked queen. What did she do? She would make the Jewish women in the country strip down and be naked and do her work on Shabbos. And since she forced the women to not only work on Shabbos, but to be naked while working on Shabbos, so too Vashti was punished in such a way that she was commanded to come out to be naked from her husband. She refused, and then she ultimately ended up being killed. That took place on Shabbos as a sense of like a midah keneged midah, a measure for measure punishment. She humiliated the Jewish women on Shabbos, so she became humiliated on Shabbos and ended up dying as a result of that. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, points out a further question about this verse that we just read, that Bayom HaShvi Ketov Lev HaMelech Bayayin, that the king was filled with the wine and he was merry, he was very happy because of all the wine that was in his belly. But the Gra says that we know, of course, literally the pasuk is talking about Melech, the king, King Achashverosh, but we know that the Medrash explains that every single time we have the word Melech in the Megillah Esther, that is actually a reference to God, that the since God is quote unquote hidden, his face is hidden in the Megillah, we have little signs that allude to him every now and again, and that main sign that we have can be found in the fact that we say Melech a lot. When we say Melech, we're supposed to think, this is talking specifically about Hashem. So, says the Gra, if Melech is an allusion to Hashem in this pasuk, in which we hear about the king being so happy and thrilled that he has all this wine in his belly, what connection does that have to God? Does God get so happy when he has wine in his belly? Does God have a belly? Does God drink wine? What is the connection over here between God the fact that he drank wine and he was happy with it? And the way that the Gra explains it over here is that when we say Lev HaMelech, that Ketov Lev HaMelech Bayayin, that the king was happy with wine, is that the king, God, was happy happy with the wine that the Jewish people were drinking on Shabbos. That, as we said, this is Yom HaShvi'i, this is Shabbos itself taking place. The Jewish people are fulfilling mitzvahs, they're keeping Shabbos, they're drinking wine, and therefore, as a result, Hashem was happy over the wine that the Jewish people were drinking to bring in the holy Shabbos Kodesh for Kiddush. There is one further connection between Purim and Shabbos, and that is another famous Gemara in Megillah that talks about the fact that Esther, Queen Esther, had 7 different maidservants. And what did her maidservants do? What purpose did they serve? Well, the purpose of the maidservants, quite simply, is the fact that she wanted to know when Shabbos was every single week. You become a queen, you have lots of important duties, and you forget. It's hard to keep track of what day of the week it is. So she had a Sunday servant, a Monday servant, a Tuesday, Thursday, etc., until she had her Shabbos servant, and she knew. Shabbos servant, I don't know, her name was, I don't know, whatever you want to call her. Her name was Rivka. So Rivka comes in and she says, oh, it must be that Shabbos is starting or that Shabbos is here because Rivka is here. And that's how she was able to keep track of when Shabbos was. Now, the obvious question is, we've made several connections between Shabbos and the story in the Megillah and Megillah's Esther. Why is there such a strong connection between Shabbos and Purim? Meaning, why do the rabbis go so out of their way to point out that Esther had these 7 servants to know when Shabbos was, and that Vashti was killed, and that she was punished on Shabbos? Says Rav Goldicht, or Meir Goldicht, one of the Rosh Yeshiva in YU, in his Sefer, Meir Panim, he says that you have to understand something about Shabbos and its connection to the Purim story, because the truth is, there is a much deeper connection than anything that we've begun to mention. The connection is that the Jewish people suffered tremendously during this generation. They were punished horribly. Why were they punished? Because they did not keep Shabbos so well. The reason why they were worthy of destruction, the reason why they were worthy of being wiped out, that Haman was given some opening to destroy them, to kill the Jewish nation, is because we weren't good at keeping Shabbos. And therefore, as a result, say Mordechai and Esther, this is obviously like Al Pi Kabbalah, right, a deeper understanding, this is not the Pshat per se, but therefore, say Mordechai and Esther, what are we going to do? How are we going to save the Jewish nation from the destruction? They say we have to advance Shabbos observance. If we make people more careful about keeping Shabbos, if we make people more understanding connected to the holy day of Shabbos by, you know, making sure that they have ways to remind themselves of when Shabbos is, and by pointing out all these other connections of Shabbos in their lives, then we'll grow in this mitzvah, and we will no longer be worthy of the destruction. And that's evidently what they did. They increased Shabbos observance and the importance of Shabbos in the eyes of the entire Jewish nation, and we therefore were able to get out of the destruction that we experienced. One final idea to sort of conclude all this and really just synthesize and bring it all together is an additional piece that Rav Goldich writes, and I'm going to read for you his language because it's so beautiful, and this will, with this will conclude. He says as follows, Mishum kach, because of all of this that we've explained, b'chol motzai Shabbos b'havdala, l'fi kol ha-minhagim, omrim la-yehudim ha-isa ora, v'simcha v'sosun v'ikar. Because of everything that we've explained thus far, that is why we say the verse of la-yehudim ha-isa ora, v'simcha v'sosun v'ikar. Why? Kedei she-nizkor ma yakar be'emet. He says, because once Shabbos leaves, we need to remind ourselves of what is truly important. Shabbat shisha yamim, that through the 6 days of the week that we're going to experience, b'siyumam shel yimei hamaseh kasher ha'adam yachzor latzmo, during the week from Sunday through Friday, people become very internal. They return to themselves. They worry about their own physical needs, you know, working and bringing the garbage out. You know, the very physical, earthly matters. That's what happens from Sunday through Friday. But then once Shabbos comes, Yachzor l'Shabbos, they return to Shabbos, l'Rigyusa, l'Shalva, they return to a sense of tranquility, to a sense of peace. Yira kamahu etzliach lios mechubar l'borei olam. They realize that as important as Sunday through Friday are in terms of days of being able to accomplish things in this world, the most important day of the week is Shabbos itself. Because that's the day in which we are able to be connected with our Creator. That's the day in which we are able to reach a sense of tranquility and being able to develop a relationship with our Creator. Lachin, he says, therefore, dafka mikol lametes hamalachos ha'asurus b'shabes, heim b'todoseim, kasva Torah dafka, ali yitzeh, actually, I don't want to read that paragraph, not right now. Okay, well, we're not going to read any more right now because he goes into other sort of loftier concepts. But this idea is what we will conclude on. That the reason why we say La Yehudim HaYisra'ur every single Motzei Shabbos, the reason why we remember Purim every single Motzei Shabbos, is to remind ourselves of what is truly important, what is truly valuable, and what our values need to be throughout the entire week. True, we have lots of important things that we do in our lives from Sunday through Friday. We take care of the garbage. We have our jobs. We have other things that we're tending to. We go shopping in the grocery store. So many things that we do. But Shabbos is the most important day of the week because it's this singular day of the week in which we are able to reach a spiritual high. We're able to get closer to Hashem, closer to each other as well. We're able to learn more Torah. We're able to connect on a much higher spiritual level. And that is ultimately what life is all about. We have Shabbos because Shabbos reminds us what is truly important. We conclude in Havdalah with the Pasuk of La Yehudim HaYisra'ur V'Simcha V'Sason V'Ikar to remind ourselves what we truly value in this world. True, we're going to have lots of experiences from Sunday through Friday, but always remember, what are the four most important things in life? Those things which help us define ourselves as a Jew. Being a Jew, being able to have the honor to connect to Hashem, to be able to have a relationship with Hashem, there is nothing more important than that in life. And ultimately then we realize that it's not just, we should say that Purim itself is a story in which we're reminded of this, that we were reminded ultimately what the most important thing is, that being able to celebrate Shabbos every single week, to have this connection with Hashem, that's the most important thing, but that connection does not end on Purim, that it's not just the day of Purim or Purim weekend itself in which we are meant to have this reality check, what's most important in life. It's every single Motzei Shabbos that we're supposed to think for ourselves. So it's specifically fitting that on this Thursday after Purim, to realize that Purim is not the only day of the year to focus on our connection between us and Hashem and understanding what's truly important in life and understanding the pasuk of La Yehudim HaYisra'ura. It's specifically this Shabbos, this Motzei Shabbos, and every single Shabbos and Motzei Shabbos from now until next Purim, that we have to realize what's truly important in life, and that's the spiritual connection that we have between ourselves and Hashem, ourselves and our families and all of those who are around us. We should be zochet to make it through next Purim and have every single Shabbos in which we internalize this idea of what Purim truly represents, so that by next Purim, God willing, we're celebrating within the Beis HaMikdash all together, we'll be able to truly have this understanding of what is absolutely the most important thing in our lives, being able to be connected to one another and to our Creator. Everyone should have a beautiful evening and a wonderful Shabbos.